I want to announce the good news. Kindness 101. Inspire kindness. Yes? Let me ask you to smile this morning. Do something for the first time. Come on, smile. There you go. It's not that hard, is it? John, you be the star. Let's do the Mexican smile. Come on, England's in the semi-final. For the next couple of hours anyway. England's what? Oh, I'm prophesying. It's the start of a new day. Yeah. Kindness 101. Who likes kindness? Of course we do. Of course we do. It's part of our nature to, you know, enjoy kindness. But you know, we are family, we are a team, and we're a family who inspires kindness. If we are a family and we're a team, then the next thing we've got to add on to our family and team is we must be inspirers of kindness. Because kindness will move us forward. What we're doing next week is taking a step closer to a world we've not yet reached. Just taking a step. That's all we're doing. And it seems an awful lot of effort to take one step just to reach. But if we don't take it, we'll never get there. And we learn so many things along the way. And on this side of the bridge, there's kindness. On that side of the bridge, there's desperate. There's lonely. There is turmoil. And our kindness on taking it across that bridge can mean an awful lot to an awful lot of people. Just through a simple event like this. Because we all got saved somehow. We all got saved somehow. And, you know, someone invited you somewhere. Someone said something. And when you look back now, you think it all started somewhere. It all started somewhere. So I honestly think that as part of our ecosystem, as we've been using that word, is we're not only family, we're not only team, but we're a family who inspires kindness. This has got to become so part of who we are, to be kind to one another. Not just kind to those outside the door, but kind to one another. And kind to everyone. Kindness. Yeah? Come on, say yes. Do you know Al Capone said this? Some of you may not know Al Capone. He was a gangster. And he came out and said this. He said, you can get a lot done, more done with kindness and a gun than you can just with kindness alone. Think about that. It cracks me up when I read that statement. You get a lot more done with kindness, with a gun and kindness, than just with kindness alone. Sometimes you need a little bit of encouragement along the way. And, you know, sometimes if you've witnessed kindness, sometimes it can be tough. Someone can be tough, but they're being kind. That's almost like the gun in your back. They're actually moving you in the right direction that's going to be good for you in the long run. But you feel like you're being pushed along. That's the gun in the back. Yeah? But sometimes it's only until you've actually you experience kindness, you realize that if they hadn't pushed me in that way, or they hadn't strongly encouraged me in that way, or they may not have strongly spoken to me in that way, I would not have seen the bigger picture. Amen. Al Capone was right in one way. That's the gospel of call to Al. And we've all witnessed kindness. Each and every one of us has witnessed kindness. And do you know how beautiful it is when someone shows kindness to your soul? When your soul is desperate and it's thirsty and it's needy, how beautiful it is when someone gives you, or shows you, I should say, kindness to your soul. And it kind of clarifies your need at the time you needed it. One act of kindness can bring so much clarity to our lives. It can. Someone preaching the gospel to you brings so much clarity to you and shows kindness to you, them doing it. But not everybody appreciates it. But they're still showing you kindness, or they're showing that person kindness. We used to sing the song, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Do you remember that song? Some of you was oldies. I am 61 years young. You may be 81 years old, but I'm 61 years young. But I remember, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Or as we used to sing, "Thy loving kindness is better than the wife." No, it's not really, but "Thy loving kindness is better than life." You know, we as a church have been practicing, demonstrating, kindness for some time now. And we do it behind the scenes, and we've told you about this before, so we'll tell you about it again. We are involved in a thing called Lend With Care. And Phil put us onto this, and the stats I'm going to share with you now are old stats, and he could bring us up to date with the new stats. But let me just show you how our kindness has been distributed amongst the nations of the world. And we've sown money that helps the most impoverished people who want to start their own business. So if you want to change poverty, put some tools in people's hands that helps them change their environment, their circumstance. Amen? Yeah. Because if someone's in a hole and you just keep throwing food in the hole, they're still in the hole. Some people need a hand out, others need a hand up. And this money is to give people a hand up. Amen? So we hand out, and by that we hand up. So we start their own business. We have made 245 loans. Oh, you got it. Oh, okay. Here we are today. See? My analytics tell me we've made 269 loans. £5,307.89 has been lent. So you give it, but we never look for it back. We just keep sowing what we're giving. We've made 643 entrepreneurs have been helped. 2,825 family members have been helped. This is just our small church. 634 jobs have been created. And 4,102 people have been helped as a result of what you give. When you give your tithes and offerings, we then steward that money and sow it in different areas. Thanks, Phil. It's a good job that wasn't our website, wasn't it? Now you can see that's kindness. Now we're not bragging about that. I'm just letting you know that you see how kindness can change people's environments. How when you really think about how to be kind and where to be kind and who to be kind to, it can make a significant difference. It can make such a large impact. Yes? Now, not everybody can do that. Not everybody's been... We're not saying everyone should do that. What we're saying, we've done that. We've done that. But I'm talking about us as a house can show kindness, and you as an individual must show kindness. Because if I just say, we as a house, I'm not being specific enough. But if I say, you and me and us, then we're all involved. Amen? And I woke up this week with this... in my mind, in my spirit, that kindness is clarity. And I woke up with it and I thought, wow, and I thought, am I hallucinating? Am I dreaming? Am I asleep? I know I'm coming out of a sleep, and I dream a lot when I'm just coming out of my sleep. That's why I recognize when God speaks to me. Just as I'm passing from the deep REM out into the light, am I awake? I'm not quite sure. Ooh, is it you, Lord? I'm not sure. I find that's when I'm the sharpest. And just as I'm coming out of that part of sleep, then I come into reality. And then I tell myself, is this a dream? Was this you, Lord? And I write it down, and that becomes the theme of my day. That's how I've learned to capture. Now, sometimes it was just me on one, having a nice moment. Because once I get into clarity and I start thinking about it, none of it makes sense. But when I know it's God, because it still makes sense and has substance, when I cross from the dream world into the real world, awake world, we'll call it. And this phrase, you know, grabbed hold of my spirit this week, and I thought, yes, okay, Lord, you're telling me something now. Start leading me in this direction. Start leading me in this direction of kindness. So, we're on pursuit. We're on pursuit. Kindness. If we're going to be a team, if we're going to be a family, we're going to be a team. And if we're going to be a team and a family team, we're going to show kindness to people. Now, we know that, I've just said that clarity, the kindness provides clarity to people. And why does it provide clarity? Because the moment you show somebody kindness, they always ask that question, why? Why would somebody do this for me? And that just one act opens up the door for you to say something sometimes. And sometimes words are not needed. The action alone brings clarity to a person. Yeah? So a simple act of kindness can be just opening the door for someone. It really can. It doesn't have to be something major, but it just has to be significant. It has impact. You know, if I've shown you this, it's one thing to be taught kindness, but it's another thing to be touched by it. So we're teaching kindness this morning, but to be touched by it, wow. Isn't it better to have the experience than just the teaching? Yeah? But with the teaching, go and give somebody the experience. Let me say that again. We all want the experience of kindness, but the teaching alone doesn't do anything unless there's an action attached. So, with the teaching, we need to go and give somebody else an experience, and in kind, you will also have an experience. Yeah? Hello? I love this little girl's face. Inspire kindness. Inspire. Encourage people to be kind. Encourage people to act. Encourage people to step into this world and show kindness. We can all do it. We can all do it. I believe it. You know, one of the most powerful images, and it's interesting that you're here this morning, Doc, because it's of your father. And I remember a couple of years ago when we did a Christmas giveaway, and this young boy, and his eyes, there was part of the giveaway was a bike, and this kid's eyes became fixed on this bike, and his eyes were open, and Walter, some of you may not know Walter is Dot's father, and Walter says to this young boy, I don't think this mother had enough money to buy the kid a bike anyway, and Walter says, if I win this ticket, ticket comes out, I'm going to give you this bike for Christmas. And the kid sat there thinking, great, you know, but I still want that bike. Still want that bike. And then, you know, that night, Christmas presents were being given out, and everyone got a ticket as they came through the door. No one has to buy a ticket because it's a free giveaway. And the kid's thinking, I don't want the pack of sweets, I want the bike. I don't want a bar of soap. I want the bike. And the kid is fixated on this bike and he's excited and he can't keep quiet. And then the ticket comes out for the bike and it's not his. And the kid's like, oh no, the bike. Who pulls out the ticket? Walter. Walter pulls out the ticket. It's almost like it was fixed. But it wasn't fixed. It was almost like it was fate. But it wasn't fate. I don't believe in fate. It was almost like it was luck. I don't believe in luck. It was just a random act of kindness. Walter wins the bike. No, Walter's not going to ride home on a bike. And he comes up, and Walter's like that. I've got it. I've got it. I've got it. He's happy. He's as happy for the kid as if it was him. We're going to ride the bike home. And everyone's, whoa, cheering, because this has created euphoria and emotion in the house. Tears now were flying and crying in the house. Grown men were hugging each other. It was a real scene. It's like we just won the World Cup. And the kid's going, what's happened, what's happened, what's happened? And Walter gets the bike and he wheels it over to the kid. Now you can imagine, it was a film scene. A million to one shot. And the kid gets everything he wanted. Just a bike. I'll give you a bike. One random act of kindness sent old men crying, young men crying, girls crying, and one kid home happy. Beautiful moment. It's a beautiful moment. So, inside every family, there should be an environment of kindness. There should be an environment of kindness, but we know that's not always the case. We know that in every family there should be love. There should be peace. There should be kindness. Amen? And there should be protection. But we don't see that in many, many families around our society, or in our society. And it's a shame. So how much more when people engage us as a family and see something that they themselves may be longing for and have longed for from their own parents. To see other people caring for them and showing them a random act of kindness is profound when it really should have been something that their own parents should have shown in themselves. And when I say children, we're all children and we're all longing for something, and we may, someone giving, so showing somebody a random act of kindness may take you back to when you was a child and say, you know what? I've been longing for this all my life. Wow. If I said to you, kindness in the dictionary means a quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. That's in the dictionary. The dictionary says, kindness is a quality of being friendly. So friendliness is good. You've got to be friendly. Generous and considerate. But biblically speaking, kindness means to be selfless, compassionate, and merciful. Let me say that again. The difference is, in the dictionary, it means a quality of being friendly, generous, and considerate. But biblically speaking, when you're reading scripture, it's summed up, it means being selfless with who you are, with what you've got. It means be compassionate. That means to think about others, to observe others, and then to act according to what you observe. And then, when you've observed and you're compassionate, be merciful to people. Well, I'm busy right now, but I will give you, or I will spend time, or I will do. Now, to show kindness is to be Christ-like. Oh, that's got you. It's got you now, is that okay? We made a home run, have we? To be Christ-like. Christ was selfless. He emptied himself. Christ was compassionate. Christ was merciful. Christ also was friendly. He was also generous, and he was also considerate. So he fulfilled the dictionary version and the biblical. Amen? But think about this. Go to Acts chapter 10, verse 30. You've read this scripture with me many times before. We'll read it again. In Acts chapter 10, we read the man by the name of Cornelius. And Cornelius was a man who showed kindness to the poor. And look what it results in. Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Cornelius answered, 4 days ago, I was in my house praying at this hour, at 3 p.m. So maybe at 3:00 p.m, maybe that's the time we should all be praying. I'm just joking. Suddenly, a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer. Watch. And remembered your gifts to the poor. Sent to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He is a guest in the home of Simon the Tanner, who lives by the sea. Now, the point I want to pull out is Cornelius was a Gentile who had not yet found God. And this was part of the process of him discovering the message that Peter had carried. Peter also needed Cornelius, and Cornelius needed Peter. Amen? Remember, Peter's on the roof trying to get his revelation as to what these animals meant. And he said, get up, rise up, Peter, and eat. And Peter's there. And then Peter's, and the scripture tells us, well, Peter's thinking. God's speaking, Peter's thinking. And while Peter's still thinking. Do you know you can think and still be thinking and have no action about what you're thinking about? So all of a sudden, God says to Peter, Peter, you're not getting this. Get up, go downstairs, and there's two men downstairs who will make sense of what I've just been showing you. Peter, you're not getting it, and the only way you're going to get this is by me keeping you moving. And the moment I keep you moving, it will all begin to make sense, what I'm showing you up on that rooftop. And Cornelius, this is a guy who hasn't found Jesus, but watch, he's got kindness in his heart. He's not even a Christian, and he's got kindness in his heart. I would put this, Cornelius is more generous than most Christians. Cornelius didn't have a pastor to tell him. Cornelius didn't have a pastor to teach him, but Cornelius knew out of his own wealth he would give to the poor. And look what it happened. It got the attention of heaven. God sends an angel to speak to Cornelius to say, your gifts have come up as an offering. So this kindness had touched the heart of God. And kindness in the life of Cornelius opened up the heavens over him, so that God could speak to him and lead him into salvation. Now let me put it to you. Let me put this to you. If random acts of kindness can be inside our heart, do you not think it will open up the heavens? Yes. Now, preachers won't tell you just to give and walk away. Preachers will always tell you, give to get something back. But Cornelius gave just to give. We don't show kindness to get something back. But when we show kindness, it creates its own chain of events. It creates, every action creates a reaction. And the heavens are looking and seeing, there's my boy there, there's my boy there, there's my girl there, there's my kids there, there's my family there, there's my team there. And when God begins to see the hearts of people wanting to be kind, do you not think it opens up the heavens over the house? I do. And I think this is what the next piece of the puzzle for us as a house. See, we can give resources that you give. When you give an offering, you leave it in the offering bag. We as stewards then have to distribute the offering according to the needs what we see. Right, that's one step. You giving an offering is not kindness. That's your responsibility. Now, what we do with the resources is also a responsibility. But now we show kindness with it. So lend, what's it called? Lend with care. Or lend with kindness, I'll call it. Lend with kindness. As we lend with kindness in our hearts, we want to see people's lives change. We are not looking for that money back. And any money that comes in and it makes us money, we just keep reinvesting it and reinvesting it. So there's always more in the pot. And that way, kindness can go further and further and further. It's a small thing, but it's a significant thing. You could put hundreds of thousands in there. And it depends how much resources you have. And it depends how much impact you want to have. And I'm astounded every time I see the figures. I'm astounded. With so little, how much so little can mean a lot. Wow. How much so little. I would tell, you know, in all the missions money we've given, I think we get far more back from this than a lot of the stuff we've given in the time we've been here. Not in every case, but in some cases. Now, God is kind. Would everyone agree with that? God is kind. His favor reaches to generations. Yeah? Thy loving kindness is better than life. So therefore, to have received the resurrection power of Jesus Christ and to withhold it from another so they are unable to hear and receive what you have heard and have received is probably one of the most selfish acts of unkindness you and I can ever demonstrate. You have received the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, the power that rose him from the grave, the power that pushes every power of darkness back, the power to reverse sickness, the power to reverse death. That power has been given to you and I. So you are a custodian of kindness. So for you and I to have this power inside of us and not share it with others is selfish and unkind. Think about it in that context. Right now, there are men and women on the battlefield. I want to say the battlefield, I mean the gospel battlefield. Preaching the gospel in tough terrains where their lives could be taken. And here we are, sat here in peace and luxury and comfort. Yeah? Someone's risking their life to share the gospel, to share the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Someone is risking their life to show kindness. And we're walking past people every day and never thinking about them. Let's put that in perspective. I walk down to the shop. How many people do I pass? Oh, hundreds. I sat on a bus. Never talked to anybody. Right. Well, we don't have any friends. Well, get some. Get some. And guess what? You don't need friends to preach the gospel. Oh, and the real issue is you don't know what to tell people. That is the real issue. Tell him your story. Tell him your story, how I became miserable and found Jesus. Just let your light shine. You've got one job. Let your light shine. Look for the opportunity. Look for the opportunity. Start a casual conversation. Talk about the weather. But be mindful. You can steer it. Yeah? Steer it. I'm in Paul's bank the other day. I had a great witness to the guy in your bank the other day. Why? Because I'm sat there and I'm looking for opportunities. And he was so open. What's he called? Ricardo. And he asked me, what am I doing here? Good question. That's a good question. I could have asked him the same question. What are you doing here? And we just started talking. And I said one phrase. And it was, oh, we're in. And that was it. Simple. Simple when you're looking for it. So I left him with kindness. He knows a little bit more about me. And knows a little bit more about what I do and why I do what I do than he did when I walked through the door. So I said to him, and he said to me, I may come to one of your services. I said, well, talk to Paul. Ah. So I'm not saying you haven't talked to him, but I looked for the opportunity. I'm just in the bank. My business became our business. Amen? Loving kindness is not something we should withhold from people. Loving kindness is not something you or I should withhold. And loving kindness is not something you should only expect from others. You should first be the giver of it rather than the recipient of it. Now it's nice, like I say, it's lovely when it's taught, but how much more powerful is when it's touched? Amen? Remember, kindness means selflessness, not selfishness. Selfless, compassionate, and merciful. Selfless, that means no longer I, Lord, but you. Compassionate means my heart is moved towards someone. Can be anyone. Pick anyone out of the crowd. There's that many of them. Yeah? And considerate. What was the last one? Merciful, thank you. Merciful. Now, Romans 2:4 says this. Do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness? Do you show contempt for the riches of God's kindness, tolerance, and patience? Do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience? Now, how many would you agree these are outstanding qualities, attributes, and characteristics? Riches, I mean, kindness, tolerance, and patience. They are powerful, powerful things for you and I to have in our character. But not, let's pick up the last part of that verse. Not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance. It was God's kindness first that led you on this path. Wow. So you was experiencing kindness, you were touching it without realizing it before it was ever taught to you. So the experience came first. Amen? The experience came first. And it's the experience that opens people's hearts for you then to talk to them. So why are you doing this? Why would you do that? I can't believe someone would do that to me. And it's a divine opening that happens. It's almost like the waters part. And it gives you an opportunity to state why you're doing this. My friends, I want to say this to you. Every one of us should look for that experience. To be that in somebody's life. To be that experience. To know that God can use you to part the waters and deposit kindness into somebody's life. When you had no idea of God's kindness, there it was, running in the background like an algorithm, waiting for time, generation, country, family, place, circumstance. There it was, running in the background. And it's still running now. And when you go and show random acts of kindness, it's part of the algorithm that says it's running in you. Now you've got the software inside of you that says, go and show compassion. Hey, show a selfless act here. Go and show mercy over here. That's in your capacity and my capacity as Christians to show that. Yes. Now, let me say this to you. Kindness can be deliberately intentional. Kindness can be a deliberate, intentional action. Next week is a deliberate, intentional action. Yes? Kindness is a deliberate, intentional action where the opportunity to sow seeds takes place. So, kindness can be a deliberate, intentional action where the opportunity comes to sow seed. You all agree with that? You sure? Okay, now I've got you in. Let's go to Matthew. Matthew 13. You've read this parable many, many times. So one more time won't hurt. And he tells them a parable saying a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds of the air came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And verse 8, still some other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, and that crop was a hundred, a sixty, or a thirty times that was sown. And then he says this, he who has ears, let him hear. Matthew describes this very significant parable, and the evangelist loves this parable, but it's not only a parable just for the evangelist, it's a parable for the believer. Yeah? It's a parable for everybody. Because that's why he says, he who has ears, let him hear. Yeah? This is a very important part of this parable. He who has ears, let him hear. After all that's been said, after all that's been spoken, all that's been taught, what you hear needs to be understood. Because there's principles within principles behind this. This is not just about preaching the gospel. Albeit it does involve preaching the gospel. So, first thing I want you to see is that the farmer is deliberate with what he's about to do. He's intentional. He just didn't go for a walk with a bag of seed in his hand. He went out to sow. He was intentional. He was deliberate with his action. Amen. You know, over the years I've read this parable and I've often thought to myself, was he just careless the way he sowed? And then sometimes I fell into that bracket where, was he just careless the way he sowed? Did he sow willy-nillingly? That's what the point I'm making. And then I began to see, no. I think he was given all terrains an opportunity. He was given all terrains opportunity. He was intentional. He was deliberate. He sowed his seed. That's my conclusion. Yeah? He was relentless. He was purposeful. And he was an unstoppable force. He was going out to do something. That's what kindness does. Kindness is selfless. And when it's selfless, it's unstoppable. Do you realize once you get you out of your way, you're unstoppable? It's true. Once we get you and me out of the way, we're unstoppable. God can take us anywhere and do anything with us once you get out of the way. It's true. He who has ears, let him hear. There are various types of ground to show kindness on. There are various types of ground to show kindness on. Now, the first thing we could do is when we see hard ground, we think, don't be kind there. They're not receptive. But every ground is worthy of receiving kindness. Every ground. Something we need to understand. You see, kindness in the hands of a Christian is an unstoppable force. It is a strategic weapon God can use to break up darkness and fallow ground. It really is. Do you know what it does when kindness comes into this? Look what it does. It breaks down mistrust. It breaks down suspicion. It breaks down, or sorry, it highlights levels of sin. People become conscious. It smacks right through the center of persecution. Because you bless those who persecute you. Yeah? It arrests hatred. People now have to reevaluate their feelings towards something or somebody. What are you doing? Showing me kindness. I want a license to be angry. And now you're showing me kindness. And this kind of puts me on the back foot. And he disarms someone. Yeah? That's why God tells us to bless. And kindness breaks, it messes with the enemy's work. It does. Hatred. Can you imagine when you show love and compassion and forgiveness and kindness to people who hate you? Wow. You give someone a drink of water who's been spitting at you. It completely turns everything upside down. And once we get you out the way and me out the way, these things become possible. True? So the farmer He's a farmer who went out to sow his seed. He was deliberate. He was intentional. He was purposeful. And he was unstoppable. Amen? Now, the next thing you need to see is this was his own seed. This was his own seed. It's amazing how many people can show kindness with someone else's money. Hey. You want your kids, give your kids some money. They'll spend your money with kindness. They'll have no problem spending someone else's money. But this farmer used his own seed. So that puts responsibility. You're a farmer. You are a farmer. You're God's farmer. I'll show you that in a minute. You are God's farmer. It's your seed to give away. Everything that you have is yours to give away. It's yours. Freely it comes. Difficultly it goes. But freely it should go. Now, if you're the owner, it will always be difficult. But if you're a steward, that's different. And I would say in our lives, we have a mixture of ownership and stewardship. True? In every one of us, because I'm not dead yet to myself. There's still a lot of Tony still alive in there. And that doesn't please me to say that, but that's a reality. I've checked myself every now and then, and I have thoughts and feelings, and I realize the old man's still in there. And sometimes the old man has to be arrested. He does. He has to be arrested and put out. Because I know the old man is alive in there. And he's a wretched old man. Yeah? But he's there. So we know that he went out and he was deliberate, but he used his own resources. See, I could be very generous to the world with all the money that comes into the church. Now, I'm a steward of the money, but that's not the point. We have to use it wisely. And it's so easy to spend someone else's money. But if God says to you, go into your bank account and the money that you're going to use for the church, use your own. Well, yeah, get behind me, Satan. Hosea chapter 10, 12 says this. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Sow for yourselves righteousness. Reap the fruit of unfailing love. And break up your own unplowed ground. For it is time to seek the Lord until he comes and showers righteousness on you. Use the righteousness you have to plow and to break up the unplowed ground. Because there's an unplowed ground in every one of us on the road to kindness. Yeah. Oh, there is. Now, we all agree we've all been given a measure of talent. Have we, John? Some of us can play football, some of us can't. It's true. Some of us are smart educationally, some of us are not so smart educationally. We've all got talents and abilities. Some can sing, some wish they could sing, some should never sing. We've all got different talents. Is that not true? Right. And you're aware of some talents, but not necessarily aware of some other talents. Because how many times do we say, oh, this one's been a hidden talent? And it's not until you put them in a role or you give them an opportunity to function and shine in a different area. That's what we try to do with you. By getting involved, help us to see what's inside of you. This isn't just you, what you're doing for us or doing for the Lord. This is so that we can see what's inside of you. Oh, please, see the trainer here. I need to see what material's in the room so I can utilize it for strength. I've got to see what's inside of you. Everyone can do something, and everyone should look to do something. And we've got to see what talents are inside of you, because everyone's got something. And we often hear that phrase, what did you bring to the party? Well, I brought me. So, a seed can be a kind thought towards someone. Think about this. How can I instantly begin to start sowing seed? A kind thought to someone. Because thoughts lead us somewhere. Amen? I had a kind thought towards a person. And it began to develop in me, and it became an action. But if I hadn't started the thought and entertained the thought, it could never have been an action. Amen? So thoughts are a way to begin to sow the seed we have. Yeah? It can be a skill. It can be a talent. It can be a thought. You know, someone's been on your mind, and you pick up the phone at the end of the day. You've been on my mind all day. So now I thought I'd ring you up. How are you doing today? That was a thought that was turned into an action. It seemed an insignificant thing to you just to pick the phone up, but it took you all day, so it wasn't insignificant. It actually became a strategic act of kindness. Yeah? And that can take you then into prayer for that person or for those people, whatever. And it's amazing that just a thought can take you all over the place. So as we seek to be a family, to become a team that shows kindness, this then becomes part of our nature in this house. And some of you are saying, well, I don't want to give up what I am. Well, we're not talking to you then, are we? We're not talking to you. We're talking to those whose heart is open to be kind. Because if you've got that, I shall not be moved, then we're not talking to you. God's not talking to you. Or God is talking, but you're not listening. And if you go to Matthew chapter 5, listen to what he says here. Matthew 5 verse 46. Matthew 5 verse 46. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Stop there for a second. If you love those who love you, that's just called your people. You found your people, you found your family, you found your team. Right? But he says, but what reward will you get? So there's something to be gained by this action called love. Amen? And not even the tax collectors doing that. In other words, thieves have honor amongst thieves. Yeah? And if you greet only your brothers, oh, hang on. So now we're going beyond the church. So if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? So he's trying to take us beyond ourself, our circle. He's trying to take us beyond. Why? Because the seed needs to be sown. Don't even the pagans do that? Yeah, right, okay. So in other words, be perfect, he says. Therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. God is saying this seed has, you taking care of your family is automatic. Don't think you're being spiritual. That's your responsibility. But now sowing the seed beyond your family, right? That's what he's trying to help us to see, that there is ground beyond the church. So the first thing we see was the farmer went out and he sowed his seed on a rocky place. Let me say this to you. If I walk to the bus stop, in the precinct, it's only, how far would you say? 800 yards? 800 yards from here to the bus stop. I guarantee you will find the rocky place, the thorny place, the stony place, and the good soil. Just from here to the bus stop. All these grounds are right in front of you. But how would you know unless you sow a seed? How will you know what ground is in front of you unless you begin to show kindness or speak to someone? From what two people can be together, one can be stony ground, the other one can be fruitful ground. Let me take it even a step further, if I may. Even in this church, there is stony ground. Some people come in with stony hearts. I don't care what the pastor says. Don't care what God does. I'm not playing. I will not be moved. Now, come on. Be honest with yourself first. All of us have come in with stony ground. How are you today? I'm fine. Oh, I'm speaking to you now, Mama. Okay, that's okay. Do you know the anagram of fine means? Freaking out, insane, neurotic, emotional. That's what fine means. You're not fine. We can see stony ground, I see. Mm-hmm. Then we see thorny. Don't talk to me today. I've had a bad week. Thorny ground. Yeah, you want to be over here as the sower. You want to be over here. You look at your faces sometimes. That's a thorny look. Yeah, it's there. But kindness keeps sowing. Then seed fell on good soil. See, if you don't keep sowing, how will you know when you hit the good soil? Hello? If you don't keep sowing, you can't say, well, I sowed and they spat it back in my face. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. Doesn't matter. Keep sowing. Someone will, well, listen, don't take it personal. Because they're refusing Christ. Now you want to them to get, you want to get a home run. So you can put on your website, 20 people got saved under my ministry. Oh, come on, give me a break. You can achieve anything if you're willing to give God the glory. And we can achieve anything if we're willing to share the credit. Amen? If we succeed, why is it if 400 people come to this church, the pastor, oh, he must be a good pastor because he's got 400 people. And if he loses 80 people, he must be a bad pastor because he lost 80 people. And I've learned this is never believe that you are as good as you think you are, but never believe you're as bad as they say you are. Keep your feet in the middle. Some days I'm better. Other days I'm worse than I was better. But I'm not what they say they are, and I've not yet become what I want to be. But at least I've got terra firma, because momentum swings. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 10. I know you've been waiting for this, so I'll give it to you. We are nearly at the end. And here, I bring my descent. 2 Corinthians 9:10. Now, he who supplies seed. Who does he give seed to? The sower. So let me ask you another question as it's coming to my mind. Why do you need seed if you're not going to sow? If you're going to withhold the resurrection power of Jesus Christ from people, why do you need seed? You don't. Why would you expect God to give you seed to advance? Now, God's a loving God. He's a kind God. And because of the covenant, he'll take care of us. But taking care of us is not the same as blessing us and moving us forward. Amen? God gives seed to the sower. Who does he give it to? Right, let's define that straight away. So the question I need to ask myself now, am I that person it's talking to? Am I a sower? Now, we sow many, many different ways. Words, actions, thoughts, prayers. So many different ways we can sow. Seed. So now, he who supplies seed to the sower, watch this, and bread for food. Now, you can be so tight-fisted that you'll get bread for food, but no seed for going forward. Because God is kind and he'll give you food. But seed for going forward, why do we need seed to go forward if we're not going to sow? Because seed is given, watch this, seed is given to create one thing, harvest. A harvest. What is the point of giving you seed if you're not going to sow it and you won't get a harvest? And many people are angry and frustrated with God that they don't see harvest, but they don't do enough with the seed you're given. Seed has to be sown. So, let's read that again. Now, he supplies seed to the sower and bread for the food will also supply and increase your store of seed. You don't need an increase if you're not a sower. You don't need increase if you're not going to sow. And he will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. All this is dependent upon whether you'll sow. Now, I'm not going to ask you for an offering. Why? Because I'm not going to use Scripture as a way of raising an offering. We're teaching about sowing in so many different ways here. We're not talking about just finance. In fact, we weren't talking about finance. We're talking about so many things. So we don't need to turn it around for money. You'll be made rich in every way. Watch this. So that you can, I'll interpret this in this way for me, for us, but you can see the words, what it says there. So you'll be made rich in every way so that you can be kind on every occasion. No, it says generous here. So you can be kind on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving should be the result of kindness. So when someone's touched, what do they say? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you know, even if they don't say thank you to you, they look up and they go, thank you. I don't know where it came from, but thank you. So, close your Bibles, if you will. As usual, I got more than... Are you getting the principle here? Yeah. Kindness. So, let me say this to you in closing. I've discovered in life there are one of three bridges you will approach in life. How many? Three. The first bridge, there'll be a bridge that you need to cross. Secondly, there'll be a bridge you need to burn. Thirdly, there'll be a bridge that needs to be rebuilt. Cross, burn, rebuild. Which one should I do? Good question. The answer to the riddle is this: how you define the moment. Can you define the moment? Because that's reality that needs to be defined. Now, we've all got those bridges in our life. Some bridges we need to cross. Have faith. I'll talk more about these bridges. Bridge that we need to cross is faith. I've got to go that way. I'm compelled to go that way. And then there comes the bridge that we need to burn. I won't go into that right now. A bridge we need to burn for all kinds of reasons. When God called you, that was a bridge that you needed to burn. The world was a bridge you weren't supposed to go back to. Right? Doesn't mean say you're in the world, but you're not of the world. But what about the other bridge, the bridge of rebuilding? Rebuilding. When I'm defining the reality of the dream center right now, we cannot be burning bridges that we should be crossing. We cannot be burning bridges that we should be crossing. Okay? And I found what we're at the stage as a house, we are at the stage of where we are rebuilding bridges to our community. Right? This is what you, when you rebuild, you finally cross. To cross over, you have to build something. And we need to rebuild the bridge and bridges, because there's many ways, into our community. And I believe kindness is one of those ways of helping us rebuild a bridge. I wish there was a lot more amens. That is a powerful statement. Three bridges. I guarantee if I went across this room right now and I asked you individually to be honest with yourself, you will find one of those three bridges. You will find it. And this is something the Holy Spirit taught me. I didn't read it. One day I'm sat there. Three bridges, Tony, you're going to cross. Wow. Okay, Lord. I knew it was profound when he told me. And I keep meditating on it to get, you know, to suck the marrow out of the bones. Because it's deeper and deeper and deeper the more I keep thinking about it. I know it's profound. Yeah. When I got married, I crossed the bridge. I went from singlehood to married life. When I got children, I crossed another bridge. Now to fatherhood. Responsibility of a different kind. Yeah? When I stepped into the pastorate, I crossed another bridge. And I burnt a bridge that said, you're not going back. And I kept trying to go back because they kept asking me to come in for different shifts. And I earned more in 2 days than I earned all week. And God says to me, stop it. I told you to burn that bridge. Okay, Lord. So I'm aware there are times when burning the bridge is so, so needed. Rebuilding that bridge is so, so needed. And crossing that bridge. And church, I'm telling you now, we are ready to cross a bridge, but we need to build some. We need to build some bridges. And kindness. We carry kindness across. That's the material we build with. Because when we get and we show kindness, it will give us opportunities to shine. Because we learnt this morning, we've only got one responsibility, and what's that? Shine. Let's stand to our feet. So next week, we're going to shine. Is it Rihanna who sang that song, Shine Like a Diamond? Like diamonds. I don't want to shine like a diamond. It is Rihanna, isn't it? Did well there, remembering her name. So even Rihanna made her way into a message. So Father, this morning, I want you to put your hands out if you will. I'm talking to the sowers. Are you a sower? Because God only puts seed in the hands of a sower. Other than that, all your seed will be just used on food. But if you want a harvest, only sowers get harvest. Only sowers get the harvest. And I want you to just come before the Lord hearing this word of kindness. And say, Father, give me seeds of kindness. Get selfishness out of me. Put compassion into me. Put mercy into me. Work it into me, O God. Work it into the batch of dough. Work it in me, O God. Work it through me. Put me in front of people and situations, Lord, where selflessness can be worked out. Where compassion and mercy can be demonstrated. Lord, I want to be kind. And I want kindness to be a fruit in my spirit. That will enable me to become the sower that you tell me to become. Lord, increase the harvest of my righteousness. Let this house become a house of kindness, a house of peace, a house of generosity. Let it be a bridge that people can cross to find salvation. Lord, let the light shine like it's never shone before. In the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Come on, just ask the Lord. Give me, Lord. I'm responding to your word. I've had kindness shown to me. I know what it feels like. So I want to be kind to others. And start with what's in front of you. Start what's at the side of you. Start with what's around you. And you'll go to amazing, amazing lengths. Holy Ghost, we thank you for this word. Sow it so deep into our hearts that we become kindness 101. That we become a first fruit in our area, in our region, in our city. Enable us to become a first fruit. Enable us to become a first fruit. A first fruit offering, O God. In the name of Jesus Christ, the people of God said, Amen. Amen. Amen.